What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero, because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Tuesday, September 29th, 2020, getting toward the end of the month here. We have a lot to talk about today, and so we're going to get right on into it. I got a lot of news. We may be delaying opening the phone lines. Mike is in our control room, twiddling the dials, keeping us out of trouble, and he'll be answering the phone when we do open those lines. Obviously, big story is tonight is the first presidential debate over in Cleveland. Donald Trump just arrived on Air Force One. We don't know where Biden is at the moment here. And apparently, Cleveland is a little bit nervous about what's going to go on. The police are swarming the debate site amid fears of riots when the debates get underway. Apparently, stores are boarding up their windows. They're very concerned. The Ohio National Guard has been deployed to Cleveland ahead of the presidential debates. And the court system is prepared for an influx of arrests. So now, interesting little article coming out of Spiked Online saying that Trump is actually becoming more progressive than the left. And they're responding, of course, to all of this talk coming out of the leftists about how Trump is Hitler. And they even have placards showing Trump with a Hitler mustache. And commentators said Trump's rhetoric had ominous echoes of the 1930s. And they're still at it. But Trump is increasingly saying things the left ought to be saying on every issue from race to freedom to revolutionary history. Donald Trump is now more progressive than the left that loves to hate him. All right. Now, President Trump's confidential tax records from 2005 have allegedly been leaked. They show he paid $36,142,505 in annual taxes. So that New York Times story was very, very selective. They came on out with the tax returns from years where he suffered huge business losses. Now, the Democrats are upset because they were looking for two things in those tax records. One, that Trump did something illegal. And two, that there was a link to Russia somewhere in there. And on both, they failed. It's a nothing burger. And, you know, what Trump did was tax avoidance, and all corporations do tax avoidance. All Americans do tax avoidance. We all try and pay the least amount of taxes that we can under the law. And that's exactly what Donald Trump did. He did what any other businessman would do in the same circumstances. Now, apparently, Donald Trump, when he was going through his huge business loss failure, he was held up not by Russia, but by his reality TV show. He made $427 million. And apparently, the tax records show The Apprentice and endorsement deals with Domino's Pizza, mattresses and laundry detergent gave him that lifeline after the huge business losses. Now, it's come on out that Joe Biden used a loophole to avoid paying payroll taxes. So everybody does it. It's not a big deal. But Biden is probably going to try and make a big deal about it because most average Americans don't understand how the tax laws really work. And Biden is going to say, you know, Trump is avoiding taxes. Well, yeah, everybody tries to avoid taxes. You know, show me one American, you know, who will like put a couple of extra zeros on that check to the Internal Revenue Service and say, here, I feel like giving you more. Because if there is such a person, they should not be allowed to drive in public, in my opinion here. All righty, we're seeing a lot more stuff coming on out about irregularities in the voting process. Voters in New York City have received mail-in ballots for the 2020 presidential election marked for military use, despite never having served in the armed forces, which is causing confusion and concerns over whether the ballots can or should be used. The misprint makes it appear that the voters received an official military absentee ballot instead of a military slash absentee ballot, leaving several borough residents who received the documents, including two Post journalists, worried that their votes might not be properly tallied. The system is a mess here. Okay, there's been yet another tape coming from Project Veritas, a second ballot harvesting video featuring an apparent purchase of a ballot from a Somali resident of Minnesota. The video then features several allegations made by local Somalis regarding the alleged scheme, including direct involvement by Representative Ilhan Omar. Biden's Texas political director was caught on video filling out ballots for dead people and homeless people. So he's been formally accused of helping to run an illegal ballot harvesting operation, according to two separate affidavits filed Monday in the Texas Supreme Court. Two private investigators, including a former FBI agent and former police officer, testified under oath that they have video evidence, documentation, and witnesses to prove that Biden's Texas political director, Dallas Jones, and his cohorts are currently hoarding mail-in and absentee ballots and ordering operatives to fill the ballots out for people illegally, including for dead people and homeless people and nursing home residents in the 2020 presidential election. This election is so crooked, they're going to have to screw those ballots into those ballot boxes. William Barr has begun a voter fraud probe after the video showing a massive harvest by Democrats around the United States. Minneapolis police are opening an investigation into reports that Ilhan Omar's supporters illegally harvested Democrat ballots in Minnesota. They're cheating. They're absolutely, absolutely cheating. And Donald, you had 3 years to fix this system, and you didn't. You dropped the ball. And if the election gets stolen from you in November, you've got nobody to blame but yourself. Now, Donald Trump is slamming CNN for their sick and totally ridiculous report that he wanted his daughter Ivanka to run as his VP in 2016. And he described the story as sick and wrong. Of course, CNN is coming out with anything they can to make Trump look bad here. Meanwhile, of course, Vice President Biden helped his son Hunter become fabulously wealthy by shaking down international governments and corporations, and you're not going to see that on the corporate media. The focus is on Donald Trump's taxes. Oh, he avoided paying taxes. Everybody avoids paying taxes. You use the laws that are out there to reduce your tax obligation. It's perfectly legal to do so. Anyway, this bombshell report that was produced by two Senate committees and released last week that the corporate media continues to ignore, continues to produce explosive details that should alarm anyone even thinking about voting for Joe Biden. Earlier reports noted that the document produced by the Republican-led Senate Homeland and Governmental Affairs Committee and the Senate Finance Committee found that Hunter Biden, the vice president's son, appeared to be involved in several shady dealings with foreign entities and firms, and that ranking officials within the Obama administration were well aware of them, while some even attempted to raise red flags but were rebuffed. For example, the report says the Obama regime knew that the appointment of Hunter Biden to the board of Burisma, an inherently corrupt energy company, created a huge conflict of interest for Joe Biden, who as vice president had been taken by President Obama to formulate U.S. policies aimed at rooting out corruption. All righty. Another story. This one is coming out of Revolver.News. The truth about Hunter Biden's China entanglements is even more sinister than previously thought. A report revealing that Hunter Biden received a $3.5 million wire transfer from a politically connected Russian billionaire has recently overshadowed focus on Hunter's extensively documented financial entanglements with China. Revolver News has obtained access to a carefully crafted report offering important and disturbing information and context to Hunter's business dealings and relationships in China that suggest a renewed focus on Hunter's China connection is appropriate. Okay. Now, turning to protests and wokeness and the rest of it, tremendous development in the Breonna Taylor shooting case. The witness who claimed he heard the police announce themselves prior to entering Breonna Taylor's apartment has now recanted. Now, last week, Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron made the bombshell statement that the cops who shot Breonna Taylor won't be convicted, justifying their use of force as self-defense. In that justification, he explained that one witness confirmed the three officers' insistence that they knocked and announced themselves at Taylor's Louisville home. And it contradicted claims from Taylor's boyfriend, Kenny Walker, and 11 other residents who argued they didn't hear the cops identify themselves. Instead, Walker assumed he was being burglarized and fired a warning shot. Saturday, the sole witness claimed that he didn't actually hear the officers, Brett Hankison, Jonathan Mattingly, and Miles Cosgrove, announce themselves. So that is a new development that's going to keep the Breonna Taylor case in the public eye for a little while longer. All right. The Air Force is taking the first steps toward canceling any contracts for diversity and unconscious bias training that includes segments on white privilege and other controversial subjects as called for by the White House. The Air Force's move follows a September 4th memo from Office of Management and Budget Director Russell Voigt, which alleged executive branch agencies have spent millions of taxpayer dollars training government workers to believe divisive anti-American propaganda. All right. The Portland Proud Boys rally ends with no major clashes, despite fears the pro-Trump event would be targeted by Black Lives Matter. Police say a right-wing Proud Boys rally and counter-protests in Portland, Oregon, have largely dispersed without serious violence, although they are investigating an assault after one person who was documenting the event was pushed to the ground and kicked in the face. About 1,000 people gathered at the Proud Boys rally in Delta Park on Saturday, while a group of 500 left-wing counter-protesters massed in nearby Peninsula Park, leading to fears of clashes. All right, let's talk about COVID-19, coronavirus. It's still out there, and I'm going fast because I got a lot of stuff to get through. The head of the United Nations has warned there is no end in sight to coronavirus after the number of global fatalities hit the mind-numbing level of 1 million. And it's time to start asking, what is the real agenda behind all of this? Because 1 million is a big number to an individual. But when you look at the total population of planet Earth, you know, of 6.5-7 billion people, 1 million is a tiny, tiny percentage. And this is a far cry from a slate wiper like the 1918 so-called Spanish flu. So there's something else going on, and it has to do with these face masks, which are totally useless. I got an email from somebody today saying that, you know, when you wear that face mask and you breathe, it fogs up your glasses, which means whatever you're breathing out gets around that mask. And so it's really not effective. New York City is warning several neighborhoods could be put on strict lockdown today with all non-essential businesses closed, a ban on gatherings of more than 10 people, and schools shut down amid a deeply concerning surge in COVID-19 cases. All right, let's get back to Armenia and Azerbaijan, because that is one of four hotspots where World War III could erupt here. Fighting that erupted on Sunday between Azerbaijan and ethnic Armenians in the contested mountain enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh continued throughout Monday. Officials in Nagorno-Karabakh said 26 more of their soldiers were killed Monday evening, bringing the total of dead Nagorno-Karabakh troops to 84. 11 civilians have been reported killed in the fighting, 9 on the Azerbaijan side, 2 on the Armenian side. So far, no Azeri military casualties have been reported. Armenia and Azerbaijan, both post-Soviet states, have been locked in a territorial dispute over Nagorno-Karabakh for decades. Now, Azerbaijan is denying reports that Turkey is sending Syrian mercenaries into the fight. Azerbaijan rejected the statement from Armenia that claimed Turkey had sent Syrian mercenaries to support Azeri forces after heavy clashes in the disputed Nagorno-Karabakh region. On Sunday, fighting erupted between Azeri and Armenian forces in the disputed area and continued on Monday. Turkey is throwing its weight behind brotherly Azerbaijan in a fresh escalation. They're promising support both on and off the battlefield. Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut, and I cannot pronounce this last name, I'm sorry, announced on Tuesday that Ankara will stand by Azerbaijan in the face of what he described as Armenian aggression and offered both diplomatic and military assistance. Speaking after a visit to the Azerbaijani rented lips embassy in Ankara, he told the press that the only way the fighting will end is if Yerevan rolls back on the occupation of Nagorno-Karabakh. Now, there's new footage has surfaced of tanks being obliterated as Armenia and Azerbaijan forces battled overnight. Turkey is accused of supporting genocide as Armenia vows to use more destructive weapons. Apparently, there's a thought that F-16s will enter the battle, and that will bring in the use of Iskander missiles on the other side here. Now, that's one flashpoint. There's another one over there, and it's Greece and Turkey. Tensions between Greece and Turkey that became a geopolitical crisis in the East Mediterranean appear to be finally subsiding after Ankara withdrew from Greece's maritime space, the Oroch-Reese Turkish research vessel and the warships escorting it. Since Turkish President Recep Erdogan initiated the crisis at the beginning of August in search of oil and gas deposits in Greece's maritime space, his administration, along with Turkish media that is 90% controlled by the government, continually makes the claim that Greece must demilitarize their East Aegean islands as stipulated by the 1923 Treaty of Lausanne. The Treaty of Lausanne set the borders of the modern Greek state, with the exception of the Italian-occupied Dodecanese Islands that reunited with Greece in April 1947 after the signing of the Paris Peace Treaty between Italy and the World War II allies. It also set the borders for the modern Turkish state. So what is this really all about? What is the conflict between Greece and Turkey all about? Basically, if things between Greece and Turkey don't cool down, there will be a new European Mediterranean war ensuing, and such a war would not merely be European, but Euro-Asian, and at its furthest reach, global. So that's another one of the hotspots we have to keep an eye on. Now, over in Israel, Netanyahu is not ruling out a preemptive strike against Iran. Last month, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu denounced the UN Security Council's decision not to allow an extension of the arms embargo on Iran as scandalous, adding his country is set to continue jointly working with the United States to thwart what he called Iranian aggression. Pot meet kettle. Israel has not ruled out a preemptive strike against Iran, Netanyahu warned, during a memorial service on Tuesday for those who fell in the 1973 Yom Kippur War, an Arab-Israeli military standoff. He said, a preemptive strike is a difficult thing to do. I know that if Iran wants to base itself in the north, we are ready to fight them. This is a direct lesson from the Yom Kippur War. Basically, Netanyahu asserted that Iran will do everything, or rather Israel will do everything in order to protect the state of Israel. We are not ruling out a preliminary strike. That's another of the hot spots we need to look at. Meanwhile, Iran's military is reporting they've made a deal with the Syrian government to help rebuild their air defense systems and have signed a new contract to begin when the Iran arms embargo expires next month. Details of the contract are unclear, but Iranians said they're ready to export some arms with the embargo's expiration. The likely arms are Syed-2, as the Syrians have S-200 launchers, which are compatible with the Iranian missiles. Syria has invested a lot in air defenses over the years, but over the past year, they've lost a lot of capacity in some parts of the country, facing near-constant Israeli attacks. The systems are mostly bought from Russia, but Iran's compatible parts may be cheaper. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is preparing even more new Iran sanctions. The exact wording is still being worked on, but the Trump administration is preparing to introduce a new round of sanctions against Iran in general and its financial sector in particular. The goal, an executive order from Trump imposing these before the election. Again, how it works isn't confirmed, but the idea is to prevent every last avenue of legal financial exchange for Iran. Since this is already effectively the case with existing sanctions, the changes are likely to be minor. These new restrictions will be presented as closing loopholes, and some officials are saying that the real goal is to prevent Joe Biden, if he wins the election, from easily reversing the sanctions and returning the U.S. to the nuclear deal. Iraqi Premier Mustafa Kadhimi came out of his recent visit to the United States with talk of a U.S. drawdown and potential outright pullout from the country, just like they're getting ready to do up in Afghanistan. As it stands today, Iraqi officials are expressing real concern that the United States could be about to start yet another war in the country. And the concern is the U.S. threat to evacuate the Iraq embassy raises the possibility of a new war. All of the signs are there. The U.S. is threatening to close the embassy. It's making preparations to evacuate diplomats over the recent rocket attacks in the vicinity of the site. Now, of course, not surprisingly, when they issued that threat to close the site, the number of rocket attacks increased. Okay, we have to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children.
Welcome back to our show here. And a friendly reminder and nudge in the ribs that Republic Broadcasting Network is in a perpetual fundraiser. And first and foremost, a heartfelt thanks to those of you who have already donated. It really does make a difference. We're trying to keep things going along the way they are. We don't have any corporate sponsors or angels out there. And in fact, we probably wouldn't take any large amounts of money from any individual or corporation because they'd start trying to control what we say and do here at Republic Broadcasting. So we really need you to step on up and keep us independent, to give you the facts that you need to make good decisions. So one more time, the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. The network thanks you. Getting on back to the international news here, following on that story about how the closure of the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad may signal war. For the first time in nearly 2.5 years, U.S. jets launched airstrikes in Iraq from an aircraft carrier. The strikes were carried out September 23rd by two FA-18 Super Hornets from the USS Nimitz. This according to a spokeswoman for the Bahrain-based U.S. Fifth Fleet. The last such strike was by USS Theodore Roosevelt in March of 2018. So the jets are flying, the carriers are carrying, and so forth and so on here. All righty, the Emir of Kuwait has died, age 91. He had a good run here. The official spokesman for the Kuwaiti government called on the international community to take information from official sources and not pay attention to what is being raised on social media. But apparently, the announcement of the emir, Sabah al-Ahmad al-Jabbar al-Sabah, came just hours after the Minister of Emiri Diwan Affairs, Sheikh Ali Jarrah al-Sabah, announced that the emir's health was stable and he was receiving the prescribed treatment. Okay. Yemen's Al-Masira TV has published documents disclosing U.S. interference in the Arab country. A Yemeni television network has published a number of classified and top-secret documents from the U.S. diplomatic mission in the country, which reveal Washington's interference in the internal affairs of the country since many years ago. Imagine my shock. The U.S. Embassy's documents were publicized by the Al-Masira television network before the September 21st revolution, the 2014 popular uprising that toppled the Saudi-backed government of former Yemeni President Abd Rabu Mansour Hadi and included directives from previous American ambassador Gerald M. Feuerstein to the presidency on transfer of the so-called anti-terrorism units from the Ministry of Interior to the Defense Ministry. Okay. The U.S. Army has announced that a combat brigade from the 10th Mountain Division will deploy this fall to Afghanistan in a rotation to support Operation Freedom Sentinel. The 2nd Brigade Combat Team, based at Fort Drum, New York, will replace the 10th Mountain's 1st Brigade Combat Team and participate in the U.S. counterterrorism mission against Al-Qaeda and other terrorist groups, according to an Army news release. Apparently, an Army unit is also deploying over to Korea to deter China. Egypt is being rocked by demonstrations as protesters demand Sisi's resignation. And there have been mass protests lately against the government of President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi over the past week, with demonstrators defying heavy-handed police crackdowns across the North African country, demanding his resignation. The protests continued across Egyptian cities and rural areas for the 7th consecutive day on Saturday over corruption and deteriorating living conditions in the country, with protesters holding placards and chanting slogans against Sisi's government. All righty. Recent confrontations in the eastern Mediterranean, fueled by the prospect of exploiting offshore gas deposits, have raised fears of an upcoming clash in the region. The main contenders in the complex dispute are Greece and Cyprus on the one hand, Turkey on the other. The latter has advanced controversial claims over waters that are traditionally recognized as being under Greek and Cypriot jurisdiction. But other states are also involved due to geopolitical and economic interest, most notably France, Egypt, Israel, Italy, the United States, and Russia. While diplomacy is at work to prevent a destabilizing conflict, regional powers are also preparing for this scenario by conducting exercises and purchasing new armaments. Turkey has been expanding its military in recent years, often procuring important weapon systems from Europe or the United States. All right, let's talk about the economic news now. Okay, will Democrats street 50 million Americans? Okay, the rent is due Thursday the 1st. And they're saying 50 million Americans are behind in their rent and mortgage payments. Their next payment is due Thursday, October the 1st. Nancy Pelosi said she will keep the House in session until they pass a second stimulus bill. But she insists that addition to preventing 50 million from going homeless, that they add $1 trillion+ to bail out blue state governors and mayors to save their jobs, something the Republicans are opposed to. We got to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
Welcome back to our show. Here we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines and grab a pen and paper because we have a second phone number to use. If you can't get through on the toll-free line of 800-313-9443, you can reach us at area code 512-248-8252. And I'm sorry it's not toll-free, but we're still dealing with some of the issues with our toll-free lines here. So let's go to Nick in Clearwater, Florida. Hello, Nick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mr. Rivero, good to be on your show, man. I just want to say real briefly, I think Trump is good for us, if only in the respect that he cleared up the morale and got rid of some of this political correctness that's been killing us. I'm 54, about your age, and that. It's been a tough sled all the way, you know. So, you know, my cousin Dave, he was a guest on your show before. So, you know, good job, man. You guys are invaluable to me and a lot of other people. And just wanted to say thanks, man, okay?
Well, thank you very much for the kind words. Thank you very much for the phone call. And we're going to go ahead and get back to the news now. So the hosts of the Kaiser Report, Max and Stacey, look into the recent revelations by the U.S. government that five global banks have processed trillions of dollars in suspicious transactions. Apparently, our ordinary account holders aren't enough for them to run their business. So they're doing business with some very, very shady individuals and governments. According to the U.S. Department of Treasury's Financial Crime Enforcement Network, those institutions are the Bank of New York Mellon, Deutsche Bank, HSBC, JP Morgan Chase, and Standard Charter. We're going to go back to the phones to Mark in North Carolina. Hello, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Mike? Hey, Mike, I had to call today after yesterday, all right, after I heard both Tom and Miles, right? I tried to challenge Miles, but evidently he didn't feel like debating. By the way, I think debating is a good thing. I think you should encourage it more with more people. I think it actually helps you show it doesn't attract. Okay, so I've heard somebody say it attracts. No, I don't think it attracts at all. But anyway, first of all, let me tell you something, both of you guys. Tom and Miles. First of all, I think it was Miles who said I was a Bernie Sanders supporter. No, Miles, it was not a Bernie Sanders supporter. I was a Tulsi Gabbard supporter because I'm tired of all these wars and interventions. We see an examples of them still going on now, especially in the Middle East. Okay? I did say that I'd vote for Bernie under certain conditions if he was the nominee. But he disqualified himself, as far as I'm concerned, when he started his nonsense, pointing his finger towards Putin, saying, you're not going to do this to us, Putin. The nonsense he said. He told me right away that Bernie's more of a neo-lib than he is really of a socialist. Okay, neoliberal.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, when we talk about Trump's record, you just mentioned, Tom said something really silly yesterday about it, his golf game. I don't even play golf. I'm totally bored with it. I don't even know how it's scored. I don't watch it. I don't play it.
Yeah.
I don't do anything of it. All right?
Me
One
too.
Of the most boring imaginable. I do, however, play chess. I'm pretty good at it. Unfortunately, I don't have a lot of people that play it, so my skills have probably deteriorated somewhat, but I think they'd come back if I had more people to play it. And I know what a chess player is.
I used to play a lot of chess here, but then I quit when my smartphone started beating me all the time because I won't accept that kind of upstart behavior from an appliance.
Okay. Oh, you actually played your own phone, huh?
Yes.
But anyway, the fact of the matter is you can tell Trump is no chess player. He's not very bright. You just said it before about what he did to his own election chances by allowing this criminal activity to take place in the voting system.
Mm-hmm.
He also, like I said, he's appointed some of the worst people imaginable to both his cabinet and his government as a whole. One of the reasons he's had so much trouble now, he put the worst type of neocons and even neoliberals in there, and he threw under the bus the man who would have been the best man for his administration completely, and it was Mike Flynn. All right?
Yes.
Second of all, I do say some good things. And by the way, Miles, TPP was the Trans-Pacific Partnership that Trump almost immediately pulled out. It's not something that's, around today or something like that, or that he pulled out next. He pulled out right away of that, okay? And it was, and I say that's good. I also think it's good that he got up the climate accord. And I think it was great when he said he was going to get us out of Syria. But then the next day, Netanyahu, his boss, evidently convinced him not to get out of Syria. Instead, to make like we're taking their oil instead, which is thievery at the very least.
Yes.
All right? The other thing is, of course, what he did when he bombed Syria. There was no reason for it. And then said he was eating a piece of chocolate cake while he did it. I don't find that funny at all. I find that was disgusting, what he did. And it could have gotten us into World War III. Had Putin been a hotter-tempered type of guy, we could have been in World War III right there. But Trump is not good at all as far as being a president. He's horrendous. But again, I'll have to vote for him, not because I'm not trying. I'll have to vote for him because the alternative is even worse.
Yes.
Biden and Harris to me are unacceptable. The other thing is, too, I'm going to vote straight Republican in North Carolina this year, not because I'm a Republican. I'm an independent. I hate both parties, and I wish both parties would disband and we'd get something else. Maybe we'll get rid of political parties like the Founding Fathers wanted to. But the reason I'm going to vote straight Republican ticket this year is because of the mandatory mask laws. This bum who's the head of, who's the governor of North Carolina, Cooper, put into effect. And he still hasn't completely unlocked the state. And on top of that, he vetoed a constitutional carry law here in North Carolina where you wouldn't even have to go to the government to get a permit or anything else. You just could carry a firearm, which many states already have. I'm not sure of Indiana. Indiana might even be one of those states. But there's quite a few states that have it. Okay, I know Missouri has it. I think even Maine has it. And Vermont has it. Even though, you know, Vermont is a highly liberal state. So the fact of the matter is also, you tried to compare me with Dustin. Not you. I think it was Tom that tried to compare me with Dustin. Well, let's put it like this. I don't disagree with Dustin and everything. On foreign policy, me and Dustin are probably right on the, we're together there. I agree with him on most things on foreign policy. Okay,
yeah.
I don't think we should have troops anywhere in the world. I think we should close all our bases. I believe in America first. Take care of the problems in this country. We have no business in all these places. Okay, so yeah, but where I disagree with Dustin is when he comes up with his cockamamie theory about masks, thinking it's a good thing to wear masks, and on top of that, believing all the COVID-19 garbage that they're putting out. I told you my friend got it, right? I told you last week.
Yes.
And he works in that prison there that I used to work in, 12 hours a day, and wears that mask for 12 hours. Him and everybody has to work. So obviously it didn't protect anybody because a number of officers have come down with it and a number of inmates have come down with it now. All right? And he took that, he got that oxygen thing that, what do you call that deal there that you put in your finger? And he wanted to see for himself. He took it, it was 97, and then he put on a mask for 15 minutes, and it went down to 91. Okay, so, I mean, that tells you right there, and I've seen this before, by the way, on various things on the Internet, including medical personnel, that shows how you're deprived of oxygen by using those masks. So it's very possible that whatever virus he's gotten and these other people have gotten has probably very likely been caused by the mask. Not that the mask helped. It very likely caused it. It certainly doesn't lower your immune system. No doubt about it. I have to wear when I go to a bunch of stores now for a few minutes, and it's disgusting just for a few minutes. So I can just have to sympathize that people have got to wear those things for hours. And they tell me.
Yeah.
I talk to them. And they tell me how disgusting it is. And they tell, and they know that it's for nothing. They know they're being played. Okay, more and more people know this virus is a scam. There may be such a virus out there, yes, but it's not the it's not the black plague. All right, you don't have millions of people dying in the streets. All right, this is just it's not like Biden says 200 million people died. That's up from the 120 million he said before. But then again, this is where I'm saying this man has no business anywhere close to the White House. You imagine him on his finger on a nuclear button? No. Thanks, but no thanks. But anyway, that's all, pretty much what I want to say to Tom and Miles. You guys are free, if you want, if it's okay with Mike, you're free to call now and, argue with me. I don't care. I'll take you all on. I'll take you. I'll take Tom, Miles, and Dustin. Y'all want to come on?
Well, we try and avoid that situation because, I get a lot of emails saying that this is turning into the Jerry Springer show, and I would really like to avoid that. So all I ask is for the callers to come on, make their points, be respectful, no personal attacks, and, keep the dialogue, polite and respectful.
Sure. I understand that. I do think it's kind of entertaining, though, when you have more than one person, when he argues, as long as it doesn't, like you said, Jerry Springer got into the cursing and the fighting and all that stuff. It doesn't have to get like that. But anyway, but I understand, people thinking like that. But anyway, I do hope they call after this. I'd love to hear what they have to say. You know, but I don't see how you can beat my argument, either of you guys, because Trump is not a good president. He's horrendous. It's just that we have no choice now because of, you know, the shenanigans both parties did, how they deprived Tulsi of even getting a, you know, getting into most of the primaries, and how they pulled the strings to get Biden in there. And now Harris, who didn't even get 1% of the Democratic vote. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I hate both parties, Mike. I really do.
Yes.
I'm only going to vote totally Republican this year because of these mask laws and because of the gun laws. I'm conservative on some things. I'm liberal on others, and I'm middle of the road on others. On certain economic issues, I make Bernie Sanders seem like Ronald Reagan, like a Reagan Republican. Okay, on certain economic issues. Okay, I tax the you-know-what out of these billionaires, it's up to me, because they caused most of these problems. They're predators, and they buy and sell everything, including the government officials that are supposed to represent we the people. I tax their wealth. I mean, there wouldn't be anything like Jeff Bezos would not be a multi-billionaire if I had my way. He would barely be a millionaire. Okay, the same thing with Zuckerberg, the same thing with Bloomberg, the same thing with any of these guys. All right, I have no use for them, Mike. I'm not a conservative and I'm not a liberal, and I'm not a libertarian either. Some things about the libertarians I like, but not everything, because I do think we have to sometimes kick some of these these rich people in the behind. Okay.
Yeah,
because otherwise they'll do it to us, and that's what's happening right now. That's what a lot of these globalists are. They're not socialists; they're predators, predatory capitalists, and many of them are Malthusians who want to basically do away with the majority of us. That's all.
Yes.
And that's all I got to say. These guys call again. I'd be happy to hear what they have to say.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. I'm going to switch over to James in Charlotte. Hello, James. Thank you for waiting patiently. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, Mike, how's it going? I want to talk a couple of things about the Trump's tax return information that was released. Just one thing that happened to occur to me with Biden releasing his last year's tax return a couple of hours ago, I think, I guess, to try and spring something on the Trump before the debate. I'm thinking if the Trump organization would just release all of their withholding and Social Security taxes that they paid on their employees for the last few years, I'm sure it would be many times what Biden paid in income tax.
Yeah, it would be huge. It would definitely be huge. And yeah, Biden skipped payroll taxes by using a loophole apparently involving S corporations.
Yeah, I happened to notice that. I didn't really get to take a close look at it, but I just did happen to notice it. But one thing that this information that was released illegally or was obtained illegally. I hope they find out how it happened. It shows, I'm assuming, it shows that Trump's all of this deduction, or well, I'm not sure exactly how it was claimed, but the fact that he hasn't paid taxes for the last several years, and he's under audit, which people have been claiming that he's just lying about that, but apparently it proves that he was telling the truth about his previous returns being under audit. And he's probably been under audit since he started into the real estate.
Probably. Ultra-rich people, they deal with audits all the time here. But again, what Trump did was avoid paying taxes, which is something every American tries to do. And there was nothing illegal in what he did. Same thing with Biden using S-corps to get out of paying payroll taxes. That's perfectly legal as well. It's a loophole, but it is there. But the Democrats are really angry because they were hoping there would be something inside those tax returns that would link to Russia to bolster the whole Russiagate claim. and they're very angry it wasn't there.
Yeah, they didn't find that. I'm sure they were just hoping there would be uncover a real rat's nest of criminality there, and they found nothing really that they could come back on him. So, if the Trump organization would just release withholding and Social Security taxes, it would probably be several millions of dollars in taxes, I'm sure, that they pay over the last few
years. Between 2005 and 2007, I think the Trump organization, Donald Trump, paid something like $70 million in taxes.
Yeah. Well, are you talking about income tax?
Yeah, James, we got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials. Okay. We got more callers waiting on the other side. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future, and let's consider what really happened.
And welcome back to our show here. We're going to go right back to the phone lines here to Mitchell in Memphis. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. What's going on? Listen, I wanted to say something in response to what Mark in North Carolina was talking about.
Okay.
You got these two guys, Tom and what's the other guy's name? Miles in Maine?
Yes.
And, you know, if anyone so much as makes a comment about not liking Trump's shirt, these two guys come out and berate them to a fare thee well on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about it is that it's just getting ridiculous. I mean, these two guys, you give them like 10 plus minutes apiece. Yesterday, I think on yesterday's show, they had a combined time of 20 to 25 minutes. If your show is 2 hours, you take out the commercial breaks. This is like 25% of the show is listening to these two guys.
All right, I'll keep that in mind for the future.
But let me make a point about yesterday's show, 9/28/20. It was very disgusting to me. I wrote this down here at 1:15:39. The phone call starts at 1:19:57. By the way, this is Miles in Maine's phone call. All he did was lay into Mark in North Carolina.
Yes.
At 1:19:57, evidently Mark tried to call in to challenge Miles.
Yes.
And Miles decided, no, I don't want to talk to Mark. That's like as yellow
that's
as
his prerogative. I can't force them to talk to each other.
But it's my prerogative to say that he's a coward. But the point is that he said that he would rather not have a discussion with Mark, and he didn't want Mark to come on. Okay. So then he went on for another 5 minutes from 1:19 to 1:25. He goes on to, at one point, start berating Mark again. Well, the thing is, Mike, I can kind of understand why Miles didn't want to debate Mark. Because if we go back to what really happened, Mike Rivera, Wednesday, 8/12/20,
mm-hmm.
News analyst calls. Okay, we go back to Ron Gibson upload. We go to 1:17:25. Miles is debating Mark again. And they're talking about Bolton or something. And Miles is saying, why did Trump even hire Bolton? Or excuse me, Mark is querying Miles as to why did he? And Miles says, there's an old saying, after stuttering, he says, there's an old saying, sometimes it takes a crook to catch a crook. Miles is supposed to be defending Trump, mind you.
Yes.
At 1:21:14, Miles says, who knows what Trump was thinking? At 1:21:39, Miles says, Trump is not a politician. He is not fast at figuring some of these motivations out. This mm-hmm. does not bode well if you're trying to defend Trump. So Miles is basically making a fool of himself, making foolish statements. And this is a beautiful one here. At 1:21:50, Miles from Maine says, I'm looking for the next term to see what the real Trump, This is equivalent to Nancy Pelosi. You got to pass the bill to read it.
Yeah.
So wrapping up here, you know, of course Miles doesn't want to debate Mark from North Carolina because he's going to make a fool of himself. But that's very yellow. But real quick, Mike, Tom, let's go to Tom real quick. Tom was debating Mark.
Well, listen, Mitchell, stay on the line. I got to put you on hold. We got to take a break for station identification. I'll come right back to you after these few words.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.